Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Our first case for this morning will be Jones against A.W. Holdings, and we will hear from you, Ms. Jones.
Your Honors, the facts in this case indicate that summary judgment was improper because there were genuine issues of material fact which precluded the granting of summary judgment in this case. The facts in this case show, first of all, that Jones was not an independent contractor for AWS. The requirements under the economic reality test or the multi-factor analysis under the economic realities test indicate that there was only one factor that did not support Jones's conclusion that she was an employee and not an independent contractor. And that factor was the payment, method of payment. Under all the other factors, Jones's argument that she was, in fact, an independent contractor finds strong support. The other support of Jones's argument that she was an independent contractor is seen in the fact that the agreement, which AWS relies on to support its argument that Jones was an employee, was invalid, was illegal. A contract that is illegal because it violates the law and contravenes public policy is not enforceable. And Jones brought forth argument that supported her conclusion that she was not an independent contractor because under 466, the law, which has statutory authority, federal and state statutory authority, governs all waiver services in the state of Indiana. And multiple violations of AWS show that that agreement was invalid and not enforceable. Jones was an employee because AWS controlled her person, required her to make multiple trips because they failed to provide her with information that she requested numerous times in writing and when she called. No information was given to her. And so they required Jones to make constant trips. They required Jones to make multiple corrections that were based on information that was not previously given. The same documents were needed to be corrected. Jones was told that she was not in compliance with AWS's policies and procedures. She was not given that information. The other facts that support that Jones was an employee of AWS is borne out in not only in their control over her work, but in her person, in telling her that she was not following guidelines, repeatedly telling her that, but not providing her with those guidelines. Jones also brought forth evidence that showed that she was disparately treated throughout her entire tenure at AWS. All behavior clinicians were provided information, resources that they needed for to perform their duties without asking for it. They were just given that on the very first day of their employment with AWS, on their very first day, like following the interview. They were provided with a contract and resources on a disk. Jones was told that no such documents existed when she asked for the documents. She was told that they did not exist, that she should develop and use her own. And when she used those documents, she was disciplined repeatedly and had to make multiple trips to her level one supervising clinician. Disparate treatment was also shown in the fact that Uh, Okay.
But while you're collecting your thoughts, it wasn't clear to me whether the record showed whether during this 5 to 6 month period that you were working for AWS, whether you were performing any work for clients who were not AWS people and is in continuing your own practice.
No, Your Honor, I was not performing services for any other organization as a behavioral consultant. Prior to being employed by AWS as a behavioral consultant, I provided psychotherapy services, individual psychotherapy and counseling for a small group home with three residents, and I continued that. I was providing those services while I was full-time employed at the previous organization before joining AWS, and so I continued doing that. But there were no behavior consultant services provided.
I thought you were working part-time as a therapist at a group home?
Yes, as a therapist, but not with similar population, just in providing individual psychotherapy.
Yeah, that's not relevant for purposes of the agency analysis here. You were employed or at least performing therapy services for a group home, which tends to support the district court's conclusion that you were an independent contractor because you're working for multiple agencies.
Okay.
And in your agreement with the defendant company here, AWS, is specifically denominated as an independent contractor agreement, and while that's not dispositive, it contains a great deal of language by which AWS disclaimed any employer relationship with you, mm-hmm. and also disclaimed any right to control your work. Essentially, it was just a referral mm-hmm. type of arrangement.
But, Your Honor, the facts in the case show that despite the language of the contract, AWS controlled everything I did. In fact, to the extent that we never got to the end result of the work, none of my work was ever reviewed or approved because AWS said I failed to comply with their requirements for the services that I was providing, but they did not provide those guidelines so that I could work independently. Additionally, the law governing the contract, and it actually states it in the contract, that the contract is governed by Indiana 460 IAC 6. AWS did not comply with that law, and one part of the requirements is that any level one clinician is able to supervise. AWS required me not only to use AWS's supervisor, but required me to use a particular supervisor while giving the other clinicians the freedom to choose their own. And so even though the language of the agreement stated that they would not control me, that was not what actually happened. And when you pass it through the grid of the economic realities test, which is what we're looking at, the reality shows that I was controlled by AWS.
If you would like to save a minute or two for rebuttal, that's what that white light means.
Okay, thank you.
Welcome. Ms. Bauer.
May it please the court and Ms. Jones. AWS will stand on the arguments that it made in its appellee's brief, but I did want to address several matters very quickly. Ms. Jones is here today representing herself, and I certainly applaud her in doing so. Us lawyers have a difficult time coming up here and presenting argument, let alone being somebody who's representing themselves. But Ms. Jones did have able counsel throughout the course of the district court proceedings at the summary judgment stage. It was only after summary judgment was granted for AWS that her attorney withdrew from the case and she decided to represent herself. So while, again, I applaud her for representing herself in this appeal, her pro se status should have no bearing upon your review of the issues that were presented to the district court on summary judgment. Several of the main arguments that she makes has to do with the Medicaid requirements and whether our contract complies with those requirements. That issue was not raised on summary judgment. as this court is well aware, therefore that issue is waived and cannot be considered by this court. There was also issue made in the appellant's brief and reply brief about a brief stint she had as a direct care worker for AWS in addition to the work that she did under the contract.
That was about a week?
I think it was about a week. It was less than $300. So that was not an issue that was raised in the complaint or in the amended complaint. Again, that's not an issue that you can consider in reviewing the issues on appeal because it was not timely raised in response to the summary judgment. Thirdly...
Do you mind speaking up just a bit? I think that would...
Sorry. Thirdly, in her brief, she now wants to try to raise a constructive discharge claim. There was no constructive discharge claim raised in either the original complaint or in the amended complaint. And again, that's another issue that's been waived in front of this court.
Seems to me a little irrelevant. She was discharged. So what?
Well, she wasn't
discharged.
I guess it just depends on the discharge. It just depends on the terminology you use. She had a contract. It said that either side could terminate that contract
upon she was asked to leave.
30 days notice. And so the contract was terminated. Again, I think it's probably just a matter of semantics, whether it was a termination or whether it was just a termination of the terms of the contract. But other than that, we'll stand on the arguments that we've raised in our brief. I know the court has quite a few cases to hear today. So unless there's any questions, I have no further presentation. I would just ask that summary judgment be affirmed for Anthony Wayne Services. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. Anything further, Ms. Jones? You may. You have... All right, we'll give you a full 2 minutes.
Thank you. Your Honors, the law states that illegality can be raised at any time in a court of law, and that's not waivable. And Indiana Code 466 governs the provision of services, and inherent in that law are public policy the public policy requirements that services be provided to protect the health and welfare of the recipients of those services. And if that agreement is allowed to stand, then we're giving all providers the freedom to just go ahead and kind of change things around as whenever they want to. In that law, AWS's ability to just terminate me at will was restricted by due process requirements that AWS set forth and provide in writing the reasons or grounds for termination, and that was not given to Jones at any time. On the issue of constructive discharge and dual employment, the language of the complaint shows, and the documents in the court record shows that it was my intention to pursue that claim. Somehow those documents did not get into the court record. And so I moved the court to amend the pleading to support the evidence in this case. And it was denied as a jurisdictional issue at the time. But under Rule 15B, E and B, I believe, it's okay for that, for the arguments to be amended to support the evidence in this case. The court cannot...
Your time has expired, but we thank you very much. Thank you for your argument. Thank you, Ms. Bauer. The court will take the case under advisement.